time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, and good morning to one and all. I'm back for today, and I might mention I my arm has healed up. I've grown a new layer of skin, which old-timers like me have to be aware of. If you fall or do anything, that your skin is the first to go, and so that's all taken care of. And now I'm just tired. I'm wore out. And so I'll be here today. And who knows, I'll show up here every now and then perhaps. Maybe by phone. Oh, gosh. I tell you, it's so kind of nice, though, that you live this long. You know, 85 years. There are backdrops or backfalls to all that, because as you get older, you know, you kind of frizzle away. Marge Hazlett, you know, of course, Marge had a cancer, and she was getting treatments so many times a week for her cancer. So she had she had a reason, or there was a reason within her body that she passed away. But I feel like, I feel like kind of like Marge did a long time ago. But she was a great lady. Okay, now I've got some things. I don't know if any of you want to talk about much. Now here, a big question I've got. And I don't know if anyone has the answer. I'd like to find out. It's mosquito season once again. Now, what does that mean? That's what I'd like to know. The mosquitoes, I've been bitten once, and I've been buzzed once. And now what? Can the coronavirus be transferred from one body to another by mosquito? Oh, Lord. Can you imagine? I hope not. That would send the rest of the world into a panic. But can a mosquito transfer that virus? I hope not. Now, is there any professional out there that can give me an answer? Can a virus be transmitted by a mosquito? Now, you know, dogs can get heartworm by being bitten by mosquitoes. That's why you give your dog heart medicine, which cancels out the effects of being bitten by mosquitoes and preventing the business with the heart. So anyhow, if anybody knows anything at all, I haven't looked up on Facebook or Google or anything else about mosquito, whether it has any effect on us other than itching. I don't know. Okay, but I do have, you know, the last time I was on, I had asked for you to name the coal dock north of Marion, or some call it a tipple. That might be the correct term. But there's another name connected with that cold doc. And here I'll give you a big hint. The cold doc has the same name as one of the most famous radio personalities. And this is radio, not TV. One of the most famous personalities that Cole Doc is named after, or somebody with the same name. Now, do you know who, or can you guess? It's named the same as one of the most popular radio, well, I might even say newscasters. Now, who am I talking about? Who has the name? And you hear it all the time in railroading. It's a pretty widely used area there. Not just the coal tipple, but the railroaders call that area by a certain name. Can you tell me what it is? And that newscaster used to be a newscaster that was heard in Marion. Yeah. 740-383-9944. That's our number to call. Okay. So, now the other day I was talking about the canal boat over at Coshocton, wasn't I? Remodeled by Marshall Jacobs. Mad Marshall Jacobs. So that's something we don't need to. We never did find out where the Liberty Bell stopped in Ohio, in western Ohio, I might say, that and provided a great big celebration in a town about, a little smaller than Marion. And this same town was famous for a certain type of cheese. So, Liederkranz. Now, have you ever heard of Liederkranz cheese? Have you ever eaten Liederkranz? Ooh, here we go. All right, just a second here that I get oriented or disoriented. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Have you ever heard of Liederkranz cheese? Have you ever eaten
Hello,
Liederkranz?
Hello, listener, turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
Hello?
Hello.
Was that Colby cheese?
No, it wasn't Colby. Colby is famous.
I have a question for
you. Yes, go ahead.
You know that nice lady that used to come and speak on your program there? And everyone just loved her. And well, she's a lady that had cancer and died.
Oh, yes.
And I remember when she was buried, you talked about you didn't know whether she was buried in the cemetery or
yes.
the mausoleum.
Right.
Did you ever hear which she was buried at?
No, I never did. I don't know if Scott ever heard or not, but it's amazing because on the air, you know, she mentioned that she had bought her space there in the mausoleum, and she liked it so well, and wanted her cat buried with her. But that's the last I ever heard. So one of these days we'll find out, perhaps. Okay. Yeah. Can you turn your radio down? Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling anyhow. But you see, there is a delay between the time we speak on the microphone here and when you hear it on your radio at home. What, 4 or 5 second delay. So when you call, remember that. And okay, got to make sure I get all my controls in order here, too. Okay, so, yeah, the big question is, where was Marge Hazlett buried? Now, or where was she, what happened to her? Okay, now let me see. There are there's a place in Bucyrus on the north edge of town that was owned by famous industrialists in Bucyrus. They owned the Ohio Locomotive Crane, and their name, well, they called, they had a name for their little ranch, their getaway. There were three separate buildings, and they're open now. And they have weddings, they have a gift shop, and all kinds of growing vegetables out in fields and fruit trees and you name it. Can you tell me the name of that facility? Yeah, tell me the name of that facility. It's on the north edge of Bucyrus on Route 4 on the west side. I've been there a couple of times, usually after they close for the winter. Okay. What else can I ask you? Now, there was a mastodon found in Marion County a long time ago. But there was also a mastodon found in Crawford County. And I've got pictures on my cell phone of a couple of bones from that mastodon. And it was found near a town on the north, northeast of Bucyrus. And it was a town that was named after something medicinal. Can you understand? Something medicinal that another town south of Marion County was also famous for. Now think about that one. And now here's one I don't expect anyone to ever answer. There was once a restaurant in Galleon by the name of China Pig. That's right. What a name. China Pig. I had a cousin that worked there back in the 40s, early 50s. Everything's a long time ago.
Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions, don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. The time is 10:31, and I'll be here today, and that's it. I just, my health is going to pot. You know, that happens when you reach 85. It doesn't need, it doesn't have to. I guess I need to get out and I've got to grease my lawnmower. I got to change oil in it. Put in a new spark plug, a new air filter. I've got all those things to do yet. And I also have to get my our Fiat over to get it oil changed, I think, over at Shelby now. That's the place that's open. It was a dealer. And what else do I need to do? Well, I got to start up the old Neon, and I need to get its steering column fixed. I for ages I haven't had power steering. Ooh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead. Okay, line. Yeah, go ahead.
Now what are you talking about?
Yeah, hey, are you still there?
Okay.
Yeah, that's better, yeah.
Let me call that.
Okay. All right. Now, let's see. Yeah, I've got some goofy questions here. I just figured today you probably won't be in the mood anyhow to laugh much. Oh, here we go. The caller's back again. Okay, caller, go ahead.
I don't know if it's a problem on your end or mine.
It must be your end.
Because, I mean, you're a tiny voice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, you sound pretty good.
Okay, well, you're getting better.
Okay. Now.
So, yeah.
Did you have an answer or anything like that?
I didn't hear the question.
Oh, I got a whole bunch of them. What's the name they give to the coal dock north of Marion on the railroad? Norfolk.
What?
Coal dock? Do you know where that is?
Is it the Tipple?
Yeah, the Tipple. But it has a name.
I only remember it's the Tipple. It was out there by itself.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if they used to fill it with or anything, but
I'll tell you the real name. It's the Harvey Coal Dock. The Harvey Coal Dock.
I guess back in Virginia we used to call it a Tipple, but
correctly, it would be a Tipple, but they named it Harvey.
They named it Harvey.
Well, it's been sitting there for 110 years, I take it.
At least. And
I remember they took the ladders off because they didn't want people climbing up on it.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can remember when it was used. I used to drive by there back in the early 50s and see them loading steamers up with coal and water.
Oh, that was for the trains.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
It didn't really make any sense why you would sit there and fill it up with coal if you were just going to take it back out again.
Yeah, for the train, yeah. Yeah, they had to fill it up and store it away for a while till the next engine came along and said, hey, I need some fuel.
I didn't know we were still using coal-fired trains back in the 50s. I thought we'd gone over to diesel by then.
1956 was the last steamer to go through Marion. 1956.
Okay. Well.
So a lot of us would like to see them again, but they weren't very efficient.
Well, we had what we had.
Are
they less efficient than the ones now?
I mean, the Confederacy turned one into a submarine.
Well,
so,
that's right, yeah.
I mean, they had to have been worth something. I mean...
Oh, yes, there were thousands of steam locomotives up until the guy, Mr. Diesel, said, I can do a better job.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Well, they finally put the Hunley on display down there in South Carolina. It took them about 15 or 16 years to finally restore it.
Oh, well, I tell you, where you can see a replica or an actual steam locomotive that once was used on narrow gauge railroads, and especially in logging, and it's in the museum in Lima because it was made in Lima. Called the Shea Locomotive, S-H-A-Y. And it operated differently than the pushrod type. It was really interesting, but it's fun to go to that museum and look at all what they've got.
Well, you used to have a lot of ironworks around here at one time.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I guess. There is still an ironworks, well, in Bucyrus, of course. There's the Bucyrus Rail Company that does rail repair work, on cars and so forth. And,
I'm talking about an actual ironworks, like they used to make bells out of
Yeah, sure. We had the Ohio Locomotive Crane. They made railroad cranes. And, we had a factory that made machinery they use to make bricks.
And they still got a bronze works up there in
Ryder. Yes, Ryder Bronze. Yeah, that was
on the north end of town.
Yeah, right. Only two blocks from where I lived.
Oh, you're living beside us now, too?
Well, I used to. I grew up there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, are you from up there?
No, I used to work up there, but that was years ago, so.
A lot of guys worked at Swan Rubber.
I do remember that. I actually had an application for that place, and I ended up getting offered a job that was closer to here, so.
Okay, my dad was a production supervisor at after he was there a long time at Swan Rubber.
Now, they made hoses, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah, the world's largest manufacturer of garden hose.
Now, the other company, I guess, when they bought it out, I remember that too, they sat there and bought it out for the purpose of shutting it down, and they did that by 2003.
Yeah, and now it's still in back in operation, parts of it. And I can't remember what they call it, but they recycle plastics.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of the company, but they recycle vinyl plastic.
Yes, right. And there's there's a new industry on the north side of Bucyrus on Route 4. They've had a crane sitting outside with a grabber type of bucket. And tried to find the name of it on the internet, and I couldn't. But they've got a web page somewhere on the internet that shows that they unload trains, or not trains, but ships. They load and unload ships and also dredge canals. It's all made in Bucyrus. And it's pretty new.
I didn't know they were still dredging canals. I mean, not in Ohio anyway. We used to have
cleaning them up. Yeah, because they silt in, you know, and they have to keep getting the mud out.
I mean, I know that they do that for the rivers sometimes to keep it from flooding, because you'll have trees fall into the rivers and jam them up. And you know, sometimes that's great for fishing, but other times when it floods, it just takes everything out.
Oh, yeah. There was a place north of LaRue called the Oxbow, and it was a subject of a lot of flooding because it was a sharp turn in the river and shoved a lot of water onto the land instead of pushing it on down to the Ohio River.
And the sad part about LaRue is that, I mean, I don't know if you remember this at all or remember any of the history of it, but there used to be a village, used to be two villages over there. One was called Black Lick, and the other one was called LaRue.
Really?
Yeah. It was the old village of Black Lick was on Guthrie Road over by the speedway.
Yeah.
I took an interest in it because I saw an 1852 map once. I should have bought the thing, but I didn't. Saw it hanging in an antique shop in Marion County, and that's when I was looking it over. I saw a place called Black Lick, and I sat there and followed it. It was nothing there now. The only thing there now is the old Guthrie house. And I only knew about that because I stripped it out about 25 years ago.
Well, okay.
So they could put drywall in it. But that's the only standing, that's the only actual standing house. I don't know who had it before. I take it that the Guthrie family was well off.
Yes,
at one time,
they
but,
were. Right up to the very end.
Yeah, but when LaRue got the nod for the railway that came through from Marion, because there was competition for that railway between Black Lick and LaRue, it's very likely that if Black Lick had gotten it, well, they would have been the big thing in town, but wouldn't have been so much flooding either.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know it doesn't that doesn't harm the railway, but I know that there's massive flooding that happens there every time there's a big rain.
Oh, yeah. It's a shame that LaRue has to flood like it does. I don't know. I guess the Corps of Engineers never completed anything they thought was necessary to prevent all that flooding.
Go ahead.
Marion used to have heavy industry galore. You know, the power shovels, the steam shovels, and they operated, you know, with coal or oil and to make their steam, and they worked on the Panama Canal. So did the shovels made in Bucyrus. In fact, the largest one they made was one of the main shovels digging the canal.
I seem to remember the one that carried the shovel to its launch pad.
Oh, yes,
They still use it, but they use it for the Atlas V rocket, you know.
That's right. And I had one of the astronauts on here recently that rode the spaceship, you know, as it was transported out, and bang, away it went.
I don't know. It feels like, as far as the space race is concerned, we've taken a giant step back.
Yes, I just wish that we would. I don't know if aiming for Mars is such a good thing. I don't know why they want to get to Mars so bad. Is there gold?
Well, it's not so much gold. There is a small supply of water there, believe it or not. Of course, with the temperatures being it is, it'll never thaw out.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to... I got a break here. I'm at 10:45. And if you like, you can call back later, too.
All right.
Thank you.
Let you go there.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we're about ready to break here.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again. And, I've got a note here that Dave Aiken called and wanted me to call him. Dave Aiken, as you know, is suffering from, he had pancreatitis and all kinds of physical problems. And Dave has been my friend for so many years. Good guy. Wow. And I wish Dave would call me some morning on the air. It would be great. Okay, now let's see, what else do I have? What town in Crawford County had a mastodon, or town nearby? And that town was also famous for I don't know where it was. Well, I might as well give you the answer. Sulphur Springs. Sulphur Springs in Crawford County was similar, but not as much in business as Magnetic Springs, south of Marion County. But, Sulphur Springs. I would like to find out sometime where the sulfur was located in Sulphur Springs. Of course, everybody around that area, including Marion, has sulfur. If you go down far enough. Now, where we live, You want me to tell you a story? I don't know. I probably have told it before. It's 10:48 and a half, or 10:47 and a half right now. The story about a well. Now, when we moved to Clarendon, we had a well, a brick-lined well, and it was 17 feet deep. That is, until you hit water. It wasn't 17 feet of water, that's for sure. And my wife started getting sick shortly after we moved to Clarendon. And I thought, well, the only thing I can figure, it must be the water. So I took a sample. I got a bottle from the health department, took a sample in, and they said, stop immediately from drinking any of that water. Your well is polluted. I thought, well, how can that be? You know, I don't know. I mean, sewer lines running through the well or anything like that. And so I rolled off the cover of the well, and I lowered a bucket down 17 feet, and I saw something in the bottom of the well. And I thought, what on earth is that? Well, it was a snake. Yeah, it was a snake in the bottom of the well. Deceased, of course. Poor critter drowned down there. I don't know how long ago he had drowned, but we had been drinking snake water all that time. Well, a few weeks. My wife said, I get sick every time I'm driving to work. I don't know why. Well, we found out why. It was a dead snake. Now, across the road from me is where Bob Alton lived. And I told Bob, I said, we've got a big problem with our well. We got a snake in it. He said, oh, what the heck? I've got kittens in our well. Every time the mother cat has kittens, they jump in the well. Now, I once had a five-striped, what do you call them? Not muskrats. But you know what I mean. They're all over the place. And I found one floating on his back in my cistern. And, of course, we never drank the cistern water. And, in fact, once we got Delco water from Delaware, the Delco people came and said, now, I take your hacksaw and immediately saw the line off that goes from your well to the, you know, anything else, because they didn't want any chance for us to be connecting anything that would bother the Delco water. And ever since we've had Delco water, it's like super duper. No problem. But those things you run into when you move out in the country. I can tell you, too, about, and I think I probably have mentioned it, that in 1976, the ground froze so hard that our sewage line froze also. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Grandpa. It's Donald.
Hey, Donald. Yes, good to hear you.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, fair and warmer.
There you go.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
Good, good. The company's all working from home, so we're all kind of spread out around Springfield. But things are going okay. You know, everyone's experiencing a bit of a slowdown right now, but we're doing fine. Oddly enough, the home office in Germany, they're all still working in manufacturing. So
wow, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Now, Kathy, your aunt, she also they're doing good business right now. But still, you know, that coronavirus is affecting so many people.
Yeah, everywhere. So it is affecting everyone. So right now we're just all spread out working from home. Lucky to still be able to work from home. So that's good.
Yeah. Now, what's the name of your company again?
GKS.
GKS. So
And
you manufacture hydraulic lifting devices?
Yep. Toe jacks and machine skates.
Yeah, okay. And you sell all over the world, do you?
Yeah. So Springfield, Ohio is responsible for North and South America, but the home office in Germany handles the rest of the world.
Okay.
But the U.S. does the most sales out of anyone.
Wow. So occasionally, though, you take a trip over to Germany, don't you?
Yeah. So about every other year. Our manufacturing is in Stuttgart, which is in the southwest of Germany, about 2 hours from France.
Yeah.
So it's the Black Forest region.
I used to work with a young German boy who was brought over by his uncle to Bucyrus, and we worked together in an automotive parts store. Then he went on to college and became a county school head in some county. I can't remember which. But Stuttgart.
From Stuttgart.
Yeah, he remembers the time, you know, the war was equally, I guess, bad on either side. He said one time, they had to keep a bucket of sand upstairs in our house in case we dropped an incendiary bomb. And they would go up and throw the sand on the bomb.
Mm.
And so one time, he said he heard this big racket upstairs, and he knew a bomb came through the roof. And so he said, so my buddy said, hey, this time I'll go up and throw the sand. Well, he never came back.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy. But, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, there are actually still a lot of bombs that go off in Germany today from World War II. They're mostly concentrated around city centers and train stations.
Wow.
So what will happen is some company will get a building permit and they'll dig out, the basement of a skyscraper or something. And then all of a sudden they find a World War II bomb, and then the city has to be evacuated. So if it's a small town, they'll evacuate most of the town, and then the Germans will send in a bomb squad to detonate the bomb. And if it's a city center like Dortmund or Berlin, then they'll evacuate a few city blocks, and then they'll detonate the bomb. So still today, even, there's, most of the time they're duds. But, of course, you never want to take the chance, so they just clear them all out.
Now, Stuttgart, I think, produced bearings during the war.
They could have. They're a huge manufacturing city, even today. And that's where Mercedes-Benz is headquartered.
Oh, really?
So when you're walking around the city, almost everything has a Mercedes-Benz emblem on it. The train station has like a, it's like a 30-foot high Mercedes-Benz emblem that rotates on top of the train station. So you know it's their city when you come, when you come in on the train.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So things, now what are you doing to avoid the virus?
Social distancing best you can. So just, trying to stay far enough away from other people. A lot of my friends have been calling it Schrödinger's virus, and that's from this famous physics experiment from Erwin Schrödinger, where he theorized that if you put a radioactive isotope in a box with a cat, that since you couldn't observe the cat, it would be alive and dead at the same time. Now, he never did it, but theoretically, it works. And so the idea is that you have to pretend like you already have the virus, and so by pretending you have it and stopping you from infecting other people, you help save other people or stay away. So
that's interesting.
The big challenge is the grocery store.
Oh, my. Hey, do you have a toilet paper problem in Springfield?
You know, we've had good fortune there. I'd say the stores have been pretty good about, you know, keeping a few rolls out at a time and limiting customers to make sure that, you know, they're not hoarding. But I was actually in Las Vegas right before all of the shelter-in-place orders were put in for a trade show. And here right before the trade show, I ate all my food at home and everything because I thought, well, I'll come back from the trade show and I'll just go to the grocery store and buy new stuff. And I was in line with everyone else trying to... I was just trying to get basics, but I mean, it was pretty crazy. But just in case, I did bring a roll of toilet paper from my hotel in Las Vegas. I thought, you know, just in case, we're going to be safe.
One thing I've been wondering, last evening out on our back porch, I was bit by a mosquito. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, can a mosquito transfer the virus?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't... Right now, I know that it's airborne through water molecules, so
yes.
Coughing, sneezing, breathing. But that's an interesting question. I wonder if it could be... I mean, I guess it would make sense that it would be bloodborne.
Yeah.
As well, I guess then the question would be, how long could it survive inside the mosquito before the mosquito passes it on to someone else?
But, yes, you're right, yeah.
But yeah, that's an interesting question. I guess we should also be having some bonfires at our houses to keep away the mosquito.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, Don, we're almost 11 o'clock, and I sure appreciate you calling today.
Yeah, certainly. I had a quick break at work. I'm manning the phone, so I have to hop off here real quick. But I wanted to call in and say I'm happy to hear you back on the radio.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much, Don.
All right, I'll talk to you next time,
Grandma.
Okay,
bye.
All right, bye.
Okay, that's my grandson who works for a company out of Germany. And what he sells goes to North and South America, apparently. Okay, and we're at 10, well, we're almost 11 o'clock.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio.